Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
January 24th through February 1st, that is going to be the biggest event on the boating calendar of the year here in downtown Seattle. It is the Seattle Boat Show New Year. Get some new gear, and here to tell you all about it is our good friend Mark Uwasa of the Northwest Marine Trade Association. Professor Uwasa.
Morning, Mark.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, folks. Doing well.
Awesome. I can tell you're really excited about all the great blackmouth fishing reports we've been getting out of the sound lately. I could just hear the excitement in your voice.
Robbo's being facetious again.
God, I called around yesterday, man. It was like, wow. Yeah, it was pretty rough. Outside of the rough weather, there just hadn't been a whole lot of bait or blackmouth getting caught. But that's okay. We got Marine Area 9 opening up here shortly.
Yes, we do.
And
7.
A lot of times those fish will shift north a little bit here, and they might have slid to the north up into 9 and 7. Plus, we got the big derbies coming up too, man. What can you tell us about that? What's your crystal ball telling you about all the derbies?
Well, boy, this is an exciting year. I'm calling it the 20 in 2020. We've got 20 events happening this coming year. And obviously, you know, February, we kick off the first three. Resurrection's already been sold out, and that's what, February 1st to the 2nd. So, you know, an indication that there's some big interest in those ones. And there always is. You guys know that. You've been up there. It's some great events put on by those guys up there in the community.
Not just have been. We're going to.
Yeah.
Like in less than a month, we'll have finished up the Friday Harbor event, and that's going to be us three knuckleheads right here aboard a certain black Yamaha-powered Duckworth. We're going to be taking in that event. There's a couple seats left for that one.
I talked to Jimmy Lawson yesterday. Yesterday, there was 5 tickets left, and I bet you this morning they might even be gone. A bunch of guys were calling me yesterday saying, hey, we want to get involved. Like, well, you better get on it because it's going to be over and done with here. Here shortly, and of course, Roach sold out in October. So,
yeah,
a lot of folks excited about that.
No question about it.
Oh yeah,
all right,
it's going to be a great event.
You've been beating the bushes and have just put together a murderer's row of seminar speakers this year, Mark, and you know, one of the most diverse groups that I've seen in my many many years of presenting at the Seattle Boat Show. And what are some of the highlights that you're looking at coming into Boat Show 2020, which happens a week from Friday, Mark?
Yeah, well, we've got some new speakers this year, and it's kind of one of those years where I really wanted to mix things up. I wanted to put some informative people in there. You know, for example, we've got Larry Phillips, who's the Region 6 director for WDFW. And he's going to, you know, host some topics. You know, he virtually lives down in Owako during the summer. And so he's going to offer anglers some tips on, you know, how to fish down there for salmon and bottom fishing. And also, I think the highlight of his whole thing is that he's going to have a Q&A. I believe it's on Saturday, on everything and anything you want to know about WDFW. So, you know, come on down. You got some questions, some concerns, you know, shoot it his way.
I believe Tommy Donlin's going to be giving some tuna seminars. You got our friend Austin Mosier that's going to bring some Columbia River color to the event. You know, and you know, you've covered a whole lot, but one of my favorite things was walking into the boat show for the first time and just taking in the smell of all that new fresh aluminum and fiberglass.
I always walk in on the second floor, I walk out to the rail, and it's just like, oh, yeah, look at all those boats there in front of you, big yachts.
So many boats.
So then the other part of this that cracks me up is, oh, dude, if the Vikings win today in Santa Clara, they beat the Niners, and the Hawks take care of business in Lambeau, guess what? The NFC Championship is going to delay move in to the boat show. Is that keeping you up any nights here, Mark? Or how are you going to handle that?
Yeah, we're losing sleep at the office just thinking about all this. But you know, we've got a plan. We have a plan. We have two plans going, and you know, everything should go smoothly. I mean, you know, all our clients all, you know, everybody knows what's happening. You know, our phones have been ringing off the hook, but everything's in control. We've got, it might be a little hectic on that Monday, should this all come to, you know, fruition, but I think it'll all work itself out in the end. And we've got a great show coming up and, you know, lots of events happening. So we're excited.
I'm always impressed walking around there. When you think about what has to happen to get all those boats and all those people and all the vendors and everybody in there, it's crazy.
Pretty impressive. Now,
oh, yeah.
Giant Jenga puzzle.
Oh, yeah. Now, we know what's going on out on the Sound right now. We probably know what's going to happen up in the San Juan Islands as these black mouth seasons roll out. It's probably going to be pretty good up there in 9-7, all that stuff, as we kind of move through black mouth season. But what are you excited about coming up here? I mean, we got some expanded halibut seasons. We got some summer salmon seasons coming up. You're always on the forefront of all this. What are you seeing coming up here that might make you excited coming into the coming fishing and boating season here, buddy?
Well, you know, like you guys are talking about, man, I can't help but, you know, get excited about, you know, when 9 and 7 open up. I mean, we're talking about some areas that traditionally in the wintertime are hotbeds for fishing. Now, I'm a numbers guy. I went back and I looked at, you know, last year and what the San Juan Islands produced during the fishery when it was open. And it was close to, you know, better than a half a fish per rod. I mean, come on, you can't but help but, you know, think, man, you know, that's summertime averages, you know, on good days. And so to see those kind of numbers, and we know what size, how big those fish can be up there in the wintertime. Boy, that just, you know, I'm losing sleep just trying to wait. It's better than Christmas.
Oh, I can't wait, man. I absolutely can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. And you know, we've got Marine Area 8 open up, and nobody talks about that either. And then some of that inside stuff can be tremendously productive. And in weather conditions that won't support safe fishing in Marine Areas 9 or 7, you can get into places, you know, like Baby Island and Green Bank and Elder Bay, and just kind of hide from the weather in places there. So yeah, I'm fired up, man. And don't forget, we have crabbing through the end of this month going on right now as well.
Exactly. You know, and I've been talking to some folks, you know, on that salmon front in the places that are open. I mean, you know, in as much as how it's been slow, there are still some good opportunities out there. I mean, you know, and the fish that they're catching, there's not a lot of shakers. So, you know, that helps. It'll probably boost out the season a little bit longer. And, you know, Tacoma, for example, I mean, you've got plenty of options down there. If there's nothing happening down at the clay banks, run down towards, you know, some other areas down there, Hale Passage, you know, just south of the Narrows. There's a lot of fisheries over there. So, you know, opportunities for salmon right now. I mean, it's growing. It's only going to come, you know, we're going to see more things open up here in March as well. So the straits and everything. So I just, you know, kind of, I'm excited, you know, for all these opportunities.
All right. I'm kind of fired up for Dogs on Deck. All right. Thursday, January 30th, I get to bring my beloved Bailey to the boat show, right? But you've got a whole bunch of other stuff. You actually got a kids' trout pond going on in there. So tell us some of the things that are going on in and around the Seattle Boat Show that you guys have put together this year that are going to really attract the whole new audience to this event.
Yeah, well, you know, first off, you know, we've got, like you had said, the Dogs on Deck. That's an exciting one. You know, believe it or not, we've sold over 50 tickets online for it. And, you know, that's January 30th, if for folks who don't know. There's a thing called Yappy Hour. It's an event that happens starting at 5 o'clock that day, where the first 50 dogs into the show get a life jacket from Connolly. Believe that, huh? You can get a life jacket.
All right.
Oh, dude, I'm so bringing my pet squirrel.
There we go.
Dude, I got a pet squirrel.
There we go.
I'm bringing it to the boat show.
All right. And then
cheese the day, too. You see the cheese the day?
I see the grilled cheese sandwich. I see the cheese the day, and the drippings from that will be cleaned up by the dogs on the next day. So what is cheese the day? And I'm glad there's a sailboat representing that.
So we are having world-renowned cheese lady, Sarah Kaufman. She's going to be down there with two massive blocks of cheddar. She's going to be carving out a boat-themed masterpiece. And just outside of the west entrance, there will be a free grilled cheese sandwich courtesy of Seattle Sourdough. You can get your cheese sandwich. You can come in. You can watch some cheese carving and hey, it's just going to be a cheesy day, right?
Yeah. I have never heard the term cheese carving before.
Haven't heard of Sarah?
No,
oh, dude,
I'm sorry.
She's world renowned.
And
Women's Day?
Women's Day.
January 27th. Joe will be there for that.
You know, oh, yeah.
Joe and I'll be there to help out with that event. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yep. That's January 27th. You know, all women could attend the show for free. We've got just a big lineup of seminars happening for everything boating for women there, and a panel of women who are going to do some speaking. And I think it's a great way to introduce women to the world of boating here.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
Mark Uwasa,
you know,
we'll be spending some time together over the next couple of weeks, buddy. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt. Yeah. And then, like I said, you know, like you were talking about too, the Bass Pro Shop, Cabela's Trout Pond. I mean, I'm in charge of that. We're going to have lots of fish in there for the kiddos 17 and under to catch and release. So, yeah, come on down. It's going to be a lot of things to do.
Right on, buddy. Well, thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend. What are you doing this weekend? Are you chasing kids this weekend? Or you got anything planned? What's on the docket for Mark this weekend?
This is my last free weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, next week is, you know, hopefully if all goes as planned, we're going to be in move-in mode. So, you know, I'm just trying to relax. I think this is where I just kind of hunker down.
Good luck, dude.
There will not be any relaxing.
Yeah.
Your mental health weekend. All right.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you so much. And say hi to George and the rest of the gang over there, Carson and everybody. And we will be seeing you soon, man.
Definitely. We'll see you guys
Mark.
Down
Thanks,
there.
Mark. Later,
Have
Mark.
A good weekend.
All right. Okay, he's Mark Uwasa, Northwest Marine Trade Association, the fine folks that bring you not only the Northwest Salmon Derby Series, but, of course, the Seattle Boat Show. And it's interesting that the whole Women's Day deal, there's a new initiative called Empty Mooring Floats and Full Hearts for women that have waterfront properties and have a mooring float out front and don't have a guy with a boat out in front. So my friend Fran is spearheading that particular initiative. So that ought to be kind of interesting. All right, coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as Redneck Sports Center, is brought to you by Truck Vault, the leader in secure vehicle storage.
Razor clam digging has been underway on the Washington coast since Wednesday, and diggers will have through Tuesday the 14th to dig razor clams on the coast. Coastal shellfish biologist Dan Ayers says there's no shortage of clams, but the conditions have been difficult, to say the least, the last few days, with an even worse forecast for the weekend. He expected the harvest to be minimal during this series of digs. There's opportunity to dig at all four beaches over the course of this dig, but not all of the beaches are open each day. Be sure to check the WDFW website before heading out to dig razor clams on this dig. Next tentative razor clam dig is scheduled for January 21st through the 26th.
Winter Hatchery Steelhead Outlook. A check on some of the steelhead hatcheries in North Sound and on the coast. So the runs are tracking well below what they should be this time of year. Reeder Ponds, for example, on the upper sky, just 20 hatchery steelhead were in the holding ponds as of yesterday, and just three of those were hens. Tocal Creek on the Snoqualmie had slightly better numbers, but not by very much. The one somewhat bright spot is the Bogashiel hatchery, which has 475 hatchery back on hand and has already taken close to 300,000 eggs. Further down the coast on the hump, however, the Stevens Creek hatchery had just 41 hatchery steelhead back at the facility as of yesterday.
Birds all over Skagit County. Kevin John said the duck hunting this past week has been excellent in Skagit County. There's water pretty much in all the fields right now, and there's simply birds everywhere, he said. Most of the public fields are hunting great right now as well. Kevin said the bay fronts are all holding birds too. It's go time right now up in Skagit County. This weekend is also the two-day brant season in Skagit County, but Kevin didn't expect too many brant being taken this weekend as they're calling for 35-knot winds out of the northwest today.
David Dietrich from Adventure Angling in Tacoma says the Sea Run Cutty fish has been dynamite in the deep South Sound the last couple of weeks. He's had no problem getting into good numbers of Sea Run Cuts throwing shrimp patterns on the beaches in the South Sound. David said the fish are in pre-spawn right now, and they're definitely schooled up. Once you find one fish, there's a good chance there's quite a few more in the area. Said the water's super clear this time of year. You can see most of the strikes. David's got some open dates in early February. Look him up online at adventureangling.com to book a trip for Sea Run Cutthroat in the South Sound.
Three big derbies coming up in February. The Resurrection Derby coming up February 1st and 2nd. Anacortes is sold out with a 100-boat shootout competing in this event. The next derby in the San Juans is a Friday Harbor Salmon Classic, which raises money for Salmon for Soldiers Veteran Fishing Program. That event is February 6th through the 8th, and there's just five spots left in that event. Log on to Friday Harbor Salmon Classic. classic.com. Over $22,000 is up for grabs in the Classic. Get in on it now. If you want to cash it, if you want a chance at some serious cash, the last one in the series in that month is the Roach Harbor Derby, the weekend of February 13th through the 15th. There's just shy of $30,000 in cash up for that event, and those tickets have been sold out since last fall. For more information about the rest of the events, check out the Northwest Salmon Derby Series at NWSalmonDerbySeries.com.
Sunny and 65 in San Diego, and the fish are biting. Carl Schmidt from Fisherman's Landing in San Diego said the day-and-a-half boats are still catching plenty of bluefin tuna. He said the boats are catching anywhere from 15 to 40 bluefin a day, and they've had them all the way up to 140 pounds. They lost at least two last week that were well over 200 pounds. Carl said they've begun their Friday night trip south to Colonnette off the coast of Mexico this past week, and those trips have been loading up on yellowtail, ling cod, and vermilion rockfish. One of the charters last week had 21 yellowtail, 9 lings, and limits of vermilion rockfish. Carl said they've got their fingers crossed that the albacore will move in this spring, as the commercial fleet recently found them 400 miles offshore of San Diego. They caught albacore in San Diego last spring, and they're hopeful they'll get another crack at them again this year.
WDFW gave folks a chance to win some incentive permits if they submitted their harvest reports by yesterday. Two any elk permits for both the west side and east side were up for grabs, along with five any deer permits for those that submitted prior to yesterday. Drawing one of these permits allows a hunter the chance to pursue either elk or deer during all the respective seasons and hunt both the general seasons and special draw areas. Hunters have until January 31st to submit their harvest reports, but the state just started offering up these new incentive permits to do just that, give hunters some incentive to submit the reports early. The drawing for those incentive permits will be in early April.
This Redneck Sports Center has been brought to you by the great folks at Truck Vault in Cedro Woolley. Check out your next secure vehicle storage system at truckvault.com.
Talking to Carl Schmidt down at Fisherman's Landing yesterday, I was just flabbergasted that they would catch ling cod. He said they're running about 120, 130 miles down into Mexico right now. And I said, you're catching ling cod down? He's like, oh, yeah, we get them 300 miles down into Mexico. I'm like, what do you catch them on? Oh, you know, sand dabs and stuff. Same thing we do here.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. Crazy. I was going over the read last night, and I got to that part, and I was like,
must be a typo.
I was like, the yellow fin. And then I was like, no. Yellow tail, yeah. And ling cod. I was like, what?
Yeah, vermilion rockfish.
Yeah.
And they just hammer the vermilion. Have you ever eaten a vermilion rockfish?
Mm-hmm.
They are spectacular.
Really?
Oh, they're unbelievable.
I'd be absolutely lying to you if I knew that the ling cod's geographic range was 300 miles south into Mexico.
Yeah, he said, no, we catch them as far down as about 300. That's kind of the cutoff, though. Yeah. But they'll get them up to, you know, they're not as big as up here, but they'll get them up to 20 pounds down there. Wow. Anyway, pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty
cool.
Yeah, that whole fishery down there is awesome.
And still roping those bluefin. Yep. The yellowfin moved out, but the bluefin are still there, and they're catching 15 to maybe as many as 40 on those day-and-a-half trips out of San Diego right now. So, yeah, kind of cool. Again, I had to reach out far and wide to find some good reports. I called them up yesterday. I'd be like, dude, have you caught a fish? I mean, tell me something. You know?
He's like, yeah, we're catching fish all the time.
He's like, oh, he was laughing, man. Great guy. But anyway, super fun deal down there.
Don't worry. The longest January in recorded history is halfway through almost here. All right. So check it out. One of the things we are looking forward to, though, in February is not just the opening up of some of our saltwater fisheries, but your first real shot at a massive monster wild steelhead, Robbo.
Oh, yeah. Nobody knows that better than Mike Z out on the coast there in Forks. I've spent plenty of time around him for the last, I don't know how many years, couple decades, fishing with him a bunch. And all you have to do is follow him on social media, and you'll see some of those gagger steelhead he catches out there on the coast. And I tell you what, if you're disappointed in the hatchery steelhead run, which we all are, the wild fish will come.
They will
show up. And whether you catch one or two or 10, it doesn't matter. One or two wild steelhead on a day of fishing out there, that's a great day of fishing. And one of those could be an absolute wall hanger.
Yes, definitely.
So we'll have Mike on after the break here to talk about that. He's excited to get this hatchery steelhead run in the rearview mirror.
He's been working on his website, too. Looks really, really good. Go check it out, MikeZsGuideService.com. Mike Zvadlow joining us next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. Log on to MikeZsGuideService.com. That is the website of our next guest, none other than Mike Zvadlow. For over 30 years.
Good morning, guys.
30 years more on the peninsula. Are you kidding me?
30 years, Mike?
That means you should be up for some type of
race. Yeah, not quite. 23 so
all right,
far.
Okay. Close enough.
I'm getting there. I'm right behind Crabtree there.
Kind of dating yourself, buddy. Well, you've seen plenty of these hatchery steelhead runs come and go. What can you tell us? I mean, and I've, of course, we've seen these things come and go, too, and a lot of them just falter and fail, and people have zero faith in any steelhead showing up at all. But I tell you what, man, I know you're probably going to agree with me. I bet you these wild steelhead are going to show up any day now, aren't they?
Yes, they are. As soon as these rivers start dropping, they're going to be there. It's that time of year.
And so you expect, I mean, by middle of next week, we got a bunch more rain coming this weekend. Do you think these rivers are going to be in shape and fishable sometime next week out there, buddy?
Yeah, next week. We just had a bunch of rain here last night, and the Kalaw is back up to 4,300, and the Hose back up to 6,700. So, yeah, it's going to be a few days, but like Wednesday, the temperatures are going to be high, you know, like in the 20s and lows in the 17s. So that's going to really
those things are
going to
drop right into shape.
And you got a foot of snow for this next week. So, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it's going to be challenging conditions. But so now getting into the wild steelhead thing, you're just, I know you're going to switch gears altogether and get away from all the beads and the tiny little stuff. Are you going to increase your gear size and start throwing some different stuff for these big critters?
You bet, yeah. Using the WFO worms, the big ones, the shark, you know, the pink with the chartreuse tail, just 6-inch stuff. But yeah, big presentations. Cover lots of water because they're going to be spread out. There's not a ton of fish in there, so you need to cover the water and find those little pods of fish that are moving into the system.
And the nice thing is you don't have to be subtle with these wild fish. You can throw a 12-inch pink leech at them, and they're going to grab it.
Yeah.
Well, and you get a
you got it.
You get to spread the guys out on
use,
them.
Go ahead.
I'm just you get to spread out the pressure. I mean, you know, if the only fish that you can really find and do so dependably is going to be at the hatchery, the Bogue Shield hatchery, where's everybody going to be? At least with wild fish, they're not so goal-oriented. They're not all going to rock it right up to the hatchery. They're going to use the habitat in a more dependable, you know, you're going to find them in the holes. You're going to find them in the riffles. And that's really where your nearly three decades of experience on these rivers comes because you get to use your art of reading water to put your clients onto these fish, Mike. And that has to be a very special time of year for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And experience and knowing where you catch them every year after year after year, every spot. And you just cover the water and hit all those, you know, I say 100%ers that you just know that the fish live in there. And you just hit every one of those spots. And the more spots you hit, the better chance you have of catching these big fish.
Any new gear the last couple of years that you've gravitated towards? I know you talked about some of these new worms, you know, that the you mentioned pink and chartreuse, but you guys have been fishing purples and blacks and all kinds of colors. Any other new stuff out there to catch some of these big wild fish, buddy?
No, I'm still using the same stuff. You know, the water predicts what I use. You know, if it clears up, I'll use the black and chartreuse and the blues. But, you know, when the water's up and dirty, give me that pink and chartreuse tail one with the white jig head, and man, that's a go-to. It's just awesome. But I also use heavy line, and I use your 15-pound test because when you hook one of these big fish, you need some power to land them.
Fluorocarbon or straight mono leaders?
I use it, you know, when the water's up, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, at 15-pound or 12-pound, you know, Maxima. I mean, Maxima is as strong as you can get. So you could actually drop down to 12, and it's just like 15-pound Seaguar. But
when that water clears up, though, do you switch to fluoro just to?
I have, and you know, years past, but lately I've been just going right back to Maxima.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I mean, it's strong, it's durable. And like last year, I just switched back to Maxima, and I was amazed how strong that stuff is after being away from it for a while.
It's so strong. When you and I had a long conversation last night about both kind of starting guiding in Alaska at the same time, and you get to use a lot. You get to figure stuff out your first year in Alaska, and the Maxima, you could grab onto it, right, on the side of the boat, and you could pretty much just pull the fish in the boat, and it wouldn't break.
Yep. Exactly. So, yeah, I've been going, and you can drop down. Like, 10-pound Maxima is so strong. It's amazing stuff. And then you go to 12, and it's just like, you know, it's like cable.
And
but
15, you can pull a truck out of the ditch if you have to.
You can. You can, you can. So, yeah, just use heavier leader, you know, and you know, it, you know, when you hook one of those big fish, at least you have a good chance of landing them. Because you're going to, you know, it's when the water's up, there's a fewer places to land those big fish. And so you got to maybe move down the river a little bit further than you'd like to land them just to find those soft inside corners and stuff. So you're going to fight them a little bit further than you would like to.
What do you do with regard to your hook size and wire size of those hooks? How does that change from the hatchery time of year to now when it's, you know, big game, big fish, wild fish season?
Yeah, so I just use statter hooks, Gamagatsu's, you know, 2-aught, weren't, you know, jig hooks. I use half-ounce lead with 3/4-ounce floats. I like to use that heavier setup to get down in that faster water, you know, that turbulent stuff, and you know you're getting down into that heavy stuff, and you can slow that stuff down when you're flow fishing through there.
Now, you mentioned half-ounce lead. Are you running some of these worms on jig heads, or are you fishing them just straight?
I fish all my worms on jig heads these days. I still do. There's a lot of guys. I know Kratzer, he bobber dogs a lot of that stuff now. He, you know, he threads the worm and he drags them down through there. So I'm still a jig head guy. I still like fishing my jig heads.
And color, are you running those worm keeper jig heads? What kind of jig heads are you running? And then what color jig head too, buddy? Without giving too many secrets
worm
away.
Worm keepers are great. You just got to be careful because they'll rip the worms up when you pull them on and off. But I just stick them on. They never seem to last that long. With a couple fish, the worms are, you know, they're broken. So I just use lots of worms and just, you know, I go through them. Or you can super glue them on if you want. I just put them on. They usually don't last that long anyways. You start catching fish on them.
Well, half of them end up in the trees anyways with customers in the boats,
no
right?
Question. We're talking with Mike Zavadlo today, MikeZsGuideService.com. And Mike, one of the things that's often always fascinated me about wild fish is just, you know, you can not only count on them in a more dependable, you know, run size, run abundance, more than hatchery fish, but also some of the first ones that you catch are quite often the biggest ones of the year. Even though this season runs into April, I'd be willing to bet that some of the bigger individuals you've caught with regard to wild steelhead on the peninsula have been some of the first individuals. I mean, do you see more fish in the 20 to 30 pound class in the early part of February than you do the rest of the season?
Oh, you bet. Yeah, this time of year. You know, from now all the way into mid-February is big fish, where you have a chance to catch those really big fish. And usually, you know, this time of year, these fish average, you know, 14, 15. You know, they're really nice fish. And you got a chance to catch one in the high 20s, you know. So you just never know. I mean, every time that bobber goes down, you know, it could be a fish of a lifetime.
What's the biggest steelhead you've put your hands on?
My biggest is 27. So I haven't hit that 30-pound yet. I know Aunt Rob has, but not quite. I've hooked them, but I've never landed one over 30 yet.
Yeah,
I cashed in a lot of my life chasing those. I look back on that. I was in the steelhead rabbit hole for way too long on the Skagit River. But
well, it just gets you.
Oh yeah, and I tell you what, there's nothing like steelhead, man. They're just electric, and they're one of the most explosive freshwater fish. Actually, they're the most explosive freshwater fish in North America. Nothing can compete with a steelhead.
Nope.
So especially those fish you got out there on the Sulduck, man. Wow, incredible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's something about their eyes, too. They're creepy, mean-looking eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and when you catch one, a big one, you don't see very many of them. And so you just sit there and you just admire it because they are so beautiful. I mean, you just sit there and go, wow, this thing is just incredible.
Yeah. Well,
passion's there, definitely.
It's going to be interesting this year because there hasn't been a whole lot of hatchery fish eating out the feed in front of this run on wild fish. And this could be a special year out there, and especially since, you know, a lot of guys didn't enjoy tremendous success on the hatchery fish, that's probably going to have a few less guys out there, at least for the first. So I know when you start getting them, you're going to call us immediately so we can blast it out on the radio. I know you're going to want to promote that. You're going to want to, you know, get
it's
that
funny,
out there.
I know when stuff's going on out there. When I call like you and Bill Meyer, and neither of you guys answer the
crickets.
Phone, I'm like, we're going to the coast. It's time to go. Right.
I haven't heard anything from these guys in a week. I know they're lighting them up. Yeah.
I can't wait to get out there.
So this, it's a little tougher this day and age. You try to keep your mouth shut to a point, you know, we want to promote our business, but you start putting it out there and more people start showing up. But we always seem to catch a few big ones. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like I said earlier in the show, listen, you know, you hear a lot of the young kids talking numbers. You know, 13 for 72, whatever. That, you know, I'm like, you know what?
Three takedowns, two refusals, and a couple bites we didn't feel.
I know. I had a follow and a pluck and whatever. And it's like, you know what? Listen, one or two of these fish in a day, that's a spectacular day. And they're beautiful fish. Yeah. You get to put your hands around the wrist of a beautiful wild steelhead. That is a great day anywhere. I don't care who you are. So kind of get away from the numbers and just enjoy the fact that we actually get to go fish for these things and get out there this spring and try to get your hands on one of these big, beautiful wild steelhead. I think it's pretty cool.
Yep, definitely.
You got it. You got it. I know they're awesome. And I want to have a t-shirt made that says it only takes one.
Yeah.
So there you go.
One fish can make your day.
There you go. That is so true, man. That is so very true.
Thanks, buddy. We'll be in touch, man. We'll be following you on social media, of course, looking for all your spectacular. You take some amazing pictures, buddy. And we'll be talking some hunting, I'm sure, here too over the next couple of months because that always seems to pop up.
Sounds great, guys. Have a good day, buddy.
All right, man. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Mike.
All right, he's Mike Zavadlo. MikeZsGuideService.com is the website. Go check it out. You want to book yourself a trip of a lifetime. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed is RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You got to be kidding me.
Really?
Where? He's coming back from the island of Tin In the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You got to tell me. I'm not going to tell anybody.
Ocean turning red.
Hey man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's
Really?
Where?
Where?
Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere.
Really?
New year, time for a new Chevy. Check out the New Year sales event featuring all new Chevy Silverado with 6 advanced powertrain options, 7 million miles of testing, 8 trim levels, which adds up to an unrivaled tow champ. Find new roads at Roy Robinson Chevrolet, RoyRobinsonChevy.com.
Best report we've heard all week is definitely the waterfowl action happening right now. Finally, we got some weather. We got this Arctic blast coming in, and it is absolute hammer time this weekend through the week. If we don't get too much snow this week, that is, if you can still move around a little bit this week, it's going to be one to remember here in the Northwest. I'm heading out this week. We're getting all kinds of texts here this morning. Guys, you know, heading for some of these public fields. Sometimes these public fields can be a little tough, but I tell you what, if you've got one locked up on the WDFW Quality Hunt Program or whether it's just a free access field, they're going to hunt well this weekend.
Yeah, they will.
Robbo's going east. Snow's going to pile in behind him. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to be able to come back west.
Yeah,
so.
And he's going to be so sad.
Yeah.
I might just have to extend my little hunting vacation to the east side. But tell you what, this is the weekend to get out, or even this next week if you got some access somewhere, or even the public, any of the public stuff, get out and get it done. Just watch the weather. This weekend especially, we got some really strong winds coming in, and just be very careful, especially if you're using a boat to do anything. Be careful out
watch
there, everybody.
It. Yeah, this is the time of year that you can definitely get somewhere you don't want to be. We are 1 week away from the Western Washington Sportsman Show, and then a week from Friday, of course, brings the Seattle.
12 days till the boat show.
Till the boat show, and you failed not asking Mark Uwasa about the History of Bathing Suits event.
The history of swimsuits. Live models. Come and check out our live models. I was like, dude, I'm in.
I believe we covered the cheese of the day, cheese carving event, dogs on deck.
Why haven't they thought of that?
I don't know.
Cheese carving?
Just
does that.
When I think of the Seattle Boat Show, it's the first thing that comes to mind is cheese carving. There's no question about it. So we have some in-studio guests.
Yeah, we've got Lee Smith from the Peninsula High School radio program. Believe it or not, they actually let high school kids have their own radio pro. They would have never let us do that in high school.
No.
But
those records are
Lee's
permanently
in studio.
Sealed.
How you doing, Lee? Thanks for coming in.
Hey, very good. Thanks for having me. If I'd had a radio station in my high school, I would have never graduated.
No.
I'd still be. Then I guess I still am. So that's kind of where we're at. So, I brought a couple students here today.
Eric and Nick in here. I've met Nick at Sportco, works down at Sportco. And Eric, these guys are just rabid fishermen. They're fishing all the time. One of them, you got a drone. One of you guys has a drone, too? You better not be spying on me with that drone, by the way. But pretty cool. You guys are out there all the time doing that. And, of course, I met you at a high school radio show conference down there at Peninsula a few years ago.
Thank you.
And,
again.
Pretty cool. You've got these radio shows. There's six of them around the state, right, for high school kids?
Yeah, six high school radio stations. Mercer Island. Aberdeen's got a good one. Let's see. Seattle. They have a high school blowtorch there. and also Tri-Cities and Peninsula High School. It's really unique, and kids have a chance to actually get on the air and experience what that's all about, and it is awesome.
Well, one of the things that really interests me is a changing face of technology, and nothing has been more significant than the advent of the internet, but radio was there before the internet, and definitely has been one of the few media channels that's been enhanced by it through podcasts and through the availability of everything else. And that's one of the things I'd like you to comment on, because, you know, you can teach kids things that are going to find themselves in obsolescence.
Oh.
I don't feel that so much with radio, especially given the level to that podcasts in general have been embraced, you know, literally, you know, across the internet.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was talking to Matt back in the control room about cutting my teeth in radio at KONP in Port Angeles growing up, where all of our spots and everything pre-recorded was on cassette. And you had to not manually rewind the cassette when you were done with it, or you would really get in trouble. We didn't have enough carts.
Yeah.
And he was talking about carts. He's heard about that old technology. And now, you know, this is like walking into NASA here. This is truly amazing, seeing what this is all about. But the bottom line is the skills of radio, you know, the ability to understand something, to communicate it, that's never going to change. And telling a story, you know, the robots are never going to be good storytellers like you guys.
Well, I just feel bad for all these newspaper guys that right now, I mean, they learned a craft. They learned, you know, journalism and how to, you know, put this together. And now, you know, the internet has just really sucked the life out of a lot of print media.
Well, that was me. I was in newspapers for 15 years and kind of saw the writing on the wall and then slid on over into education. And so dumb luck, but my timing was good about 25 years ago. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
we've done well.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you know, the good old podcast app keeps things cranking right through all the challenges. Seriously, the internet has really enhanced some aspects of media, and it's just really silenced others. And so that's why, you know, I feel so positive about the future radio and about you know, the future, what you're doing. So how many kids do you work through your program, and what is the structure of it, and you know, just. I envy you, because touching young lives and giving them kind of a start and stuff is so fulfilling.
About 50, 60 kids a year we get through in the radio program. You know, wish we could get more, but, you know, kids in their schedule, their school, there's so many demands now with so many, you know, required math and science courses that I'm not going to go too soapbox, but the number of electives offered to kids is seemingly shrinking. We want to try to change that. But I set it up in the class to where, you know, I bore the heck out of them for the first, you know, month or so talking about the FCC and the rules and regulations. But right now.
Wait, there's rules?
Yeah.
You might want to talk to Nelly about some of that, too.
Yeah, he needs to sit through one of your boring classes on rules.
But in rules. The end, I mean, we're running a radio station right now with a kid every day. They can come on in and they can be a producer for a team newscast. They're the on-air disc jockey. They're recording, making commercial announcements and long-form newscasts and, you know, working on dialing into a podcast. Like I tell my kids, I say, hey, you guys, Rupert Murdoch is scared of you. And they look at me and they go, whoa, what are you talking about? Because he owns Fox, right? And these days, with a good idea and a PC, you can communicate with the world. And that just blows my mind, thinking of where we were at when I was cutting my teeth in radio.
Well, not only that, but I tell you what, on YouTube and some of this stuff, there's some kids that are killing, and I'm talking killing it right now. Guys in their the Guggen Squad out of the Midwest, they got these videos, they're almost like a video blog, some of the stuff. They're getting 1 million, 2 million views. They got the number one bass lure in the country right now. They've got manufacturing in China. They've got venture capital backing. These kids have killed it. And these two right here, I have no doubt they'll probably fall into one of those categories coming up here, either podcast or YouTube or live radio or something like that. But pretty cool, some of the new opportunities coming up for young kids that want to get into this industry.
Oh, man.
There's some great stuff going on right now.
Well, these guys, I'll tell you what, I'd listen to you guys on Saturday morning, and then I would go into my class on Monday morning, and I would hear, you know, Wolanski and Loftall and some of these other kids at Peninsula start. It's like the show continues to go on. These guys are like you guys 25 years ago, but they got drones, okay?
Yeah.
And they have GoPro cameras. They have the internet, and they got stuff on YouTube, and I got to let them talk. They're amazing. What's cool about these guys is they'll show you a video about, hey, here was an 18-pound, you know, buck we had on the SATSUP, but they know as much about resource management and ecology they're way out in front on that stuff. And I'm so proud of those guys because that's really what they're paying attention to, and just the fact that they want to share this with other people
and
their
age. And we need you guys to do that. We need you young guys to get involved.
Well, get out of here and let them talk.
Well, give them a microphone. Oh, yeah. Let's go. All right. Come on. Here we go. All right. Name, rank, and serial number. Let's go. There you go.
Nick Walensky, how you doing, buddy?
Good. I'm doing good.
Yeah. You're working at Sportco, gleaning some knowledge down there. And of course, and you're chasing steelhead this time of year. What are you doing right now?
Yeah, it's hard to get a lot of time in with school and work and all that, but I do get out as much as I can.
Yeah.
And we have a YouTube channel. Our goal is to get more people our age into fishing because it's obviously dying off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get more and more people into fishing.
What's the name of your YouTube channel?
It's called Salmon Slayers TV.
Cool. All right.
And how many kids at Peninsula fish? I mean, when I was growing up, there was a pretty good little core of it. I went to South Kitsap over in Port Orchard. There was a core group of us that kind of ran around chasing. We were shooting ducks off of Gold Mountain Golf Course and off the. I mean, we had all the little spots picked out. Curly Creek had steelhead in it in Port Orchard. Of course, those days are long gone, but we had stuff to do. Is there kids fishing at Peninsula High School? You got a pretty good core group of guys there fishing with you?
There is. We got a good group. We meet up at the river. We fish. We all get along, and there's not a lot, though.
Yeah.
There's not a lot. There's not as much as we'd like to see.
Yeah. What about hunters? Many kids hunting?
Not nearly as much as fishing. Definitely less in the hunting department.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping to turn both of those aspects around, and guys like you are definitely going to help us do it. But one of the things, and we're getting close to the end of the show here, but the fact that mass media used to tell us what to like, the fact that you have a channel and you have a voice through your YouTube channel, and so much that you're actually through your niche interests are kind of showing other people what's possible and what to like rather than media showing us the other way around.
Yeah, we just try to be straight up and honest, inspire people to get into the sport, show them what's working, and just overall help people out.
And it's salmonslayerstv.com.
Just Salmon Slayers TV.
Salmon Slayer TV.
On YouTube.
On YouTube.
Well, thank you guys for coming in this morning.
No doubt.
I'm sure very
thanks
much.
A lot, guys.
You at Sportco, and then I want to talk about this drone thing a little bit more with you, Eric. So, all right, guys. All right. Thank you so much.
Eric, sorry, man. We'll get you on next time, but if we don't get out of the way, John Clayton will torpedo this station. Okay, we simply can't have that. Lots of NFL. You got the divisionals this weekend. If you missed any of the show, get the podcast on the iPod app or on 710sports.com. Also, hit it on theoutdoorline.com. Give us a follow on social media, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at The Outdoor Line. For Rob Ensley, for Joey Pyburn, Matt Nelson behind the glass, I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.